Soul Sister Radio. Soul Sister.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. This is The Advocate with Susan, and I'm going to mess it up again, Susan, so why don't you take it?
I love it, this little preempt. Susan Shengezar.
Shengezar, I'm going to get it right. And I just want to welcome everybody before Susan takes over. This is Maria DiGiovanni with Soul Sister Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, Susan, thank you for giving us the opportunity to produce your show. All those who are in the chat room, if you would like to back on, sign up for a new account. I'll be able to chat with you in that chat room. And we are really excited for today's show. Susan, go ahead and take it away, The Advocate.
Thank you, Maria. Before we introduce our guest, I just wanted to talk about something I read today in a daily devotional that's for our living faith. And this devotional says it's the single most painted story ever. And it caught my eye because it's talking about Mary when Gabriel tells Mary that she's been chosen to bear God's child. And it was painted by artists all over the world. They've wasted, they've expanded it onto canvases, walls, books, everywhere. And so I was thinking about my book and how so many people are giving their impression of reading my story. And today's guest, Darnell Fleming Lemus, she's one of the guests. She actually knew me since I was 12 years old. And so I was thinking about that artist's rendition of Mary's story and how everybody has a different impression of someone's story. So I was with that, I was thinking about how Darnell would think about my book. And so when she read the book, she gave me a few tidbits about how she felt and what kind of things came up, her own feelings having known me. And so with that, I want to talk about Darnell, knowing her from age 12, going through junior high with her, through high school, part of high school, and then I went off to get married, and we stayed in communication. And then there was a gap in years where we don't hear from each other. And then with that, I will let Darnell Fleming Lemus come on, and we'll talk about this. Are you there, Darnell?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm okay. A little nervous.
A little nervous.
I don't have as good memory as you do.
Well, Darnell, you live in San Jose, California, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
And you recently came to Los Angeles in October for the debut of the book at the JW Marriott, and then I gave you a copy of the book, and you've read it, but you also read my other books, is that correct?
Yeah, I am not finished with the other book.
And so if you had to say your first reaction to reading part of my story, knowing me as a person, through your eyes, knowing me as a friend looking in, could you give our audience your impression?
Sure. I'll do it the best I can and as in short of time as I possibly can.
Take your time.
Well, there's quite a lot to say. I just stand in awe, to tell you the truth, because being 12 years old, you really don't get to know somebody as you age and you get older. And I have to say, after reading this book, I did not know you like I should have as a friend. I knew that, you know, growing up, we had a hellacious life with a lot of bad and good experiences, but reading this book brought a new light to the word Susie and friendship.
And so what would you say about that for our listeners who have a friend, a close friend like we were in the group of girls that we were with, knowing that I had all those things that I kept secret and some you knew? What would you say to them to encourage or give your thoughts for?
You mean for building a friendship with someone?
Or for being more intuitive to what someone is?
Oh, yes. As intuitive as a person can be when they're young, but, you know, when they're older. I'm telling people, you know, please truly get to know the person and reach out to them and know them and know who they are. Want to be there for them, want to share their story, their life. Friendship is crucial in any relationship. And I don't believe you can have that friendship without fully knowing someone.
Right. And so as we were friends and we navigated through our ups and downs and relationships and things we were going through, you would call me in the middle of the night and we would actually venture out into the streets walking alone just to be there for one another. And that is a scary thing in itself.
But why
weren't we afraid?
I don't know. I had no fear. And rather that be because of my upbringing, because I went through what we went through, there was just no fear. But when you say that now, I shudder. I mean, I just literally shake because nobody would do that nowadays. Friend or no friend, I mean, that's just kind of unusual, you know?
And what would you say about maybe some of the things that you go through as a teenager babysitting at other people's houses and what you encounter? And now we think about, we have grandchildren, and you think about what we went through. Do you have any comments?
Oh, yes. It's like, you know, I see my children and how, because of what I experienced, I just would
and
never
so
let my
children. And so why don't you tell what you experienced?
Well, I mean, a little bit of it, you know, I would go to people's house to babysit, and there would be, gosh, drugs, without being explicit. I mean, you know, sex, it shouldn't have been that way.
The question that I have for you, this is Maria, and we probably met at that event in October, did we not?
Yes, I'm sure we did.
Okay.
At the table, yes.
Yeah, I was sitting at the table, so nice to see you again. What year, if you don't mind, without saying our ages, but because in my testimony, I know that the 60s and the 70s were not great times because of the free love. And I kind of have a feeling you're getting ready to go into this topic. So we're talking about the same time frame, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Go ahead and continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. It was probably in the 70s. 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely time. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Susie.
And so Darnell was a year ahead of me in school. And so I often hung out with girls a year older than me. It just turned out that way. And in this one incident, we are babysitting, and we're babysitting for Hell's Angels. And
wow.
there were so many drugs at the house, and they were just doing it in front of us. And I think about how they could think that that was such a normal thing. And now, like
age,
you said, you shudder. Yeah.
I mean, wow. That's only 3 years older than my granddaughter. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, I just can't keep saying, stop saying wow.
Yes.
What, so, year three again. In knowing Susie and reading the book, what is the biggest impression that she leaves you that is very relevant in the book?
Oh, wow. Probably the fact that a woman, a person, can come out not being a little scarred, but can come out being touched by God, and that you can heal. And you can heal, and you can move on.
Now, Darnell, you also went through an abusive relationship or two, did you not?
Well, okay, or two, we'll leave it at that.
You don't have to share if you don't want
to. Okay.
yes, and see, this is the thing. With abuse, sometimes it's easier not to talk about it, and sometimes it makes us uncomfortable, and I totally understand that. And so for the listeners, if something hits you where you want to talk about it, feel free to call in or message us, and we'll talk to you off the radio, and that's fine. With our childhood friendships, we know each other, and so we know about each other's relationships. And for the listeners that have not read the book, I got married at age 16, and so I married before my friends did, and so they were around to see me in that relationship, and they saw some of it happening to me, and then they lost track of me in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So when I write about these things and they're reading for the first time some events they had no knowledge of.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
What is the most
shocking? Do you hear static on the line?
Yes, I do.
Do you hear that, Maria?
Yeah. No, it's pretty clear on this end.
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
I have like an echo.
Turn off the volume on your computers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
And we are back with the advocate. Go ahead, Susan.
Mm-hmm. Is Darlene in the waiting queue yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. So, Darnell.
Yes.
You feeling like talking?
Yes.
Okay. So, when we got back together after these years, mm-hmm. why don't you talk about how you felt when I first contacted you after all these years?
Well, besides being excited, I couldn't believe that, you know, after all these years and all these experiences and wow, heartaches and triumphs and
we finally got back together again, and it was definitely a God thing. And I was just, and when I first saw you, it was like we picked up where we left off. It was like there had been no years between. And I'm sure other people can, you know, feel that and experience that. But yeah, it was great.
Yes, it was. And I drove to San Jose and came to your house, and we just had the most wonderful time. And even your sister, who I remembered, was there. And we talked about things that we had done through the past. And it was a healing time to know that your childhood friends have stayed with the Lord and renewed that relationship with God. And I remember taking your hands and praying for you. And what an awesome experience that was, because we were kindred sisters in our childhood, and we were still there, preserved in memories and women of God today, and standing united in this task that we have to be mentors now, and those women with wisdom to give those pearls we've learned along the way out to the rest of the girls and teens and young women for tomorrow, and mm-hmm. to use what we have to help them navigate through this. And so in sharing these near-death experiences in my book and talking about painful situations in my life, I wanted to share that journey with you so that you could see the other side of things that were going on, and mm-hmm. and reach out to you and give you the opportunity to have healing should you have needed it. And so I wanted you to talk a little bit about how this has been as friends in the past and then friends today, and what it means to have the Word of God as that fine line between us.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the time, I didn't really feel that line of God. I mean, well, I take that back. I knew there was something there. It's like I knew God was there, but he just wasn't taking care of me at the time. Or, you know, maybe he was, but I was unaware of it. Now, growing through faith and being aware of it, having my mother, let me put it this way, my mother would take me to church every Sunday. Faithfully, we would go to church. And I do believe that was the starting of my foundation. No matter how things went, I always knew that my mother tried to be a godly woman, and she tried to instill that into me. So I felt that I took a piece of that through my life until I actually became a Christian woman.
And so now today, I hardly ever see a day go by where you're not posting something on Facebook about what God is doing or the message you're sending, and you're just on a quest to tell everybody about God.
Yes. By the grace of God, without God in my life, I would not be here. And I firmly believe that, and I say that to anybody and everybody. If you don't have God in your life, you have nothing. Nothing. An empty soul. And in this world, you know, this world of so much dysfunction and hurts and pains, we definitely need God.
When do you think, this is Maria again,
yes.
When do you think, through all your trials and tribulations, when do you think God really made himself known? Because you mentioned that you didn't feel God or you didn't know he was there. When do you think you finally figured out that he was there all along?
When I was 26.
And what happened then?
I had become pregnant, and I was had met this man, and I just knew at that time, I felt the Lord. It was like I just had an awakening that the Lord had been there all those years for me, and that he was not going to leave me then, and he was never going to leave me again.
Very good. Did I lose you, Susie? Did we lose Susie? Susie, are you there?
So, do you remember when I first contacted you and I explained to you that God had asked me to find all my childhood friends?
Yes.
And so... What did that mean to you?
Well, I got a question. Why do you think you guys are all being brought back together? And we know it's for the kingdom. So why do you think after all these years with all of these majorly powerful testimonies, do you think God is bringing this team of women back together again?
There's power in multitudes. And I believe that God is bringing us back together again to be there for one another, because I believe that there is a lack of friendship in this world. And the more friends that get together and stick together and stay together and work together, the better it is.
That's the reason why we started Soul Sister Radio. Very good.
And so you were not the only friend that I found, were you?
No.
Oh, I see Darlene is online, so she must be trying to get on the radio with us.
Okay.
Do you have the call number?
See if I can type her the number.
Okay,
so we had the three D's, I call them. There was Darlene, Darnell, and Diane. And all of us, we're intertwined in our relationships. We were always on the phone with one another, and everybody knew everything about everyone because girls talk and they call each other. And so we all were brought back together for this reunion, and it was just amazing because I had been asked by God in writing this book to find everyone. And so one by one, each one of you were found, and we all reunited and have been having the most wonderful time. It's like a slumber party all over again, having the two of you in my room, and we were all just getting ready and talking, and I handed you a book and Darlene a book, and there we were, crying, laughing, talking, like old times.
Yes, it was fun.
I'm trying to get Darlene. I'm thinking she's having trouble navigating into the site.
Okay.
Well, all she has to do is go ahead and pick up the phone and call. I'll go ahead.
Yeah,
that's all she has to do. So maybe she doesn't know that she doesn't need to log on. She can just go ahead and call. So right now I'm going to go ahead and do another commercial break, and let's see if we can get her to come on. Okay? We'll be right back.
Okay.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
All right, Darnell, until Susie gets back on, it looks like she is going and fetching Darlene.
Can you
tell me what it was like? Because apparently growing up with Susie was different than what you read in the book. What are some of the things that you didn't realize that she was going through? And what are some of the things that you kind of had a suspicion she was going through?
Well, I kind of had a suspicion that there was abuse in the family.
Okay.
That I felt. I felt strong but did nothing about because I was a child myself and I was too afraid to. I was especially afraid of her father.
But when you say you felt there was abuse, what kind of abuse? And at 12, what did you feel?
That she was being hit.
Okay.
I didn't feel that at that time, you know, I didn't know anything else except for that I felt that she was being physically abused.
Got it. Okay. Got it. And as a child, when you felt that, did you see evidence of it, or how did you know?
I'm trying to remember. I remember a few times there was a few bruises on her face, but she never told me that I can remember that, you know, her dad hit her.
Right. And so you would see her with bruises, but she would never tell, correct?
Right, correct.
Isn't that crazy? Susie, you're back on. I see that you are. And
yes, we have Darlene coming here.
Okay, there she is. Hold on. Let's go ahead and bring her on. And now we have Darlene on with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
Good. Susie, go ahead. Take it away.
Darlene.
Hi, Susie.
Now, Darlene, we were talking to Darnell earlier, and you know that we've all been friends since, what, age 12?
Yeah.
And went through junior high and part of high school together. Earlier, we were talking with Darnell about how she felt when the call came to her from me and me telling her that God had asked me to find her. And so I want to ask you, what was your reaction when I called you?
I was really, really excited, you know, because, you know, growing up with you and, you know, and childhood friends and what have you, I think that you have that bond that lasts forever because of the things that we've gone through.
And so when you found out that God had asked me to find you as I was writing my story, how did you feel?
Well, once again, I was really, really excited and stuff because I think that, you know, when you have a true friendship and you've grown up and what have you, and, you know, when God brings that back into your life, then there's a reason for it and there's a meaning for it. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I felt like I was totally being blessed at that time because of just being able to have contact with you again and actually even being able to come out in October and being able to rekindle that friendship after so many years.
Now, how long had it been since we'd seen each other?
Oh, my gosh, what was it, like 27, 28 years, somewhere right around, a long time.
I know.
Yeah. And it's kind of one of those things that, you know, you don't, after everybody moves away or what have you, you kind of don't really think that you're ever going to see that person again, but you hope and pray someday that maybe you will. but you don't know mm-hmm. if it ever will, just because everybody has their own life and everybody's moving on and what have you. And so when we did meet up again, it was just, for me, it was really exciting for me.
Now, so when you came and we were sitting in the bedroom and we were all in our PJs and we had finished the event and we sat there and laughing, giggling, and I handed you and Darnell a book and I turned and looked at you and you were crying. And so would you explain that reaction you had when you first started reading the inside pages of the book?
And again, it brings tears to my eyes right now again. And I mean, what a baby. It was a bittersweet all the way around, I guess. You know, after not having contact with you for so many years, and, you know, and as you well know, I knew Walter, your first husband. I knew him, and I knew some of the situation that was going on. But to see it put down on paper in black and white, it was really quite devastating for me to realize that one of my closest childhood friends had gone through such a traumatic situation,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so when the tears came, it was tears of absolute compassion, absolute just a very, very heartfelt situation. Because I remember seeing you in Capitola and being so young and having Tamara and just being so young and just the way Walter had treated you at that time. And then again, just to see it put onto paper, it was really quite devastating to see somebody that I loved and cared about as a child who had gone through so much.
And so how did it make you feel seeing how God's hand was interwoven through my life? How did that make you feel as a reader and also knowing me, your view, knowing me as a friend, looking in with your eyes? How did that make you feel for someone who could be reading the book? Would that be helpful to them?
Honestly, Susie, yes. Absolutely, because I've read the book, you know, and you and I talked the other night too, and I've had my own struggles in that area where there was domestic violence and what have you, and yes, absolutely, and knowing that if you turn your will and your life over to the care of God and you let Him take hold of the wheel, so to speak, and have absolute faith and trust in Him that He can get us through everything and anything, you know, as long as we're willing to grab hold of that wheel. And, you know, just there are so many women out there and children that have experienced, you know, you, me, you know, a few other people that I know that have had that experience of domestic violence and abuse and, you know, having small children that we have to take care of, you know, and not really knowing what direction to go and trying to look for the help. And I think because being so young in a situation, for me, and I know for you because we've talked, that we didn't think that there was any help. And, you know, from growing up, you know, parents saying, well, you made your bed, you might as well lie in it. You know, and that was so many years, you know, even though that was said so many years ago, I feel like a lot of us don't think that there is a way out, but reading your story and realizing that we absolutely 100% do not have to put up with domestic violence in any way, shape, or form, that, you know, we can call, you know, our pastor or our bishop or a friend or whoever it may be at that point in time and reach out to somebody, but I don't think that we can reach out unless we know that somebody has that compassion and has that understanding of what we've all got, you know, what you've gone through, domestic violence and all of that. Unless you've gone through it, you don't think that there's anybody that can help you.
Amen, sister.
All I know is that when all you guys start talking about this topic, the Holy Spirit arrives. So, Susie, I think you've got some powerful women of God that are on your side here. So congratulations, ladies.
Yes, and I feel that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so when the three of us came together, and that picture of us so beautifully where our hands are together, I really feel that God had that moment where he reunited us to give us a power and that sort of the spirit to go out and get women who, just like us, had been through this and bring them back to God. And so I really believe that each one of us has a mantle, and each one of us' story is individual and different. And the message is the same, that we will not tolerate this and we will not stop until all of this ends with abuse, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, sexual, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, all of the different kinds of abuse that go on. And some people live through it without a voice. And so that's why this show is so important, and having a voice. So if someone wants to call in and talk about it anonymously, we encourage that. And I was just wondering, Darlene, if you were brave enough to talk about anything that you had gone through that you feel stronger now after reading the book to be able to share and feel that you have a greater understanding of the demons that came against you back then, and you feel like you have a victory now because you have a shield from God after reading the book and going through what you went through.
Absolutely. For me, I don't want to call myself a victim anymore. I'm not a victim because I have victory. And because I have God on my side, I have that victory, you know. And because of that, and my situation, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic home. And so, of course, I chose a husband that was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And then I also chose I've been married three times. Not proud of it, but, you know, God has, you know, we have to go through what we have to go through so that we can get to the other side and have that absolute complete faith and trust in God. And I feel like, you know, for me, I've had to go through what I've had to. My first husband was an alcoholic and was abusive when he drank. He was a violent drunk. And because of that, you know, my head took a few beatings. And my second husband was a pervert to my daughter. I had a beautiful young daughter that lived at home. And he, you know, when I found out everything that was going on, you know, he was a pervert and he tried to blame all of that on me. And I remember praying one night and asking God, you know, what do I do? You value family, and I'm telling you that I need to divorce this man. What am I supposed to do? And I actually heard the Holy Spirit tell me, you need to divorce this man. You need to get out. And I said to God, I says, God, you told me, you know, that families are forever, that, you know, family is the most important thing. And I'm telling you, I'm divorcing him. And again, it came over me very, very strongly and said, I'm telling you, you need to get out. You know, and so who am I to question God? And so I said, okay, God. And I says, well, where am I supposed to go? And God told me to go to my mom and dad's. And I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding me. I'm not going home after all these years. You know, I had two kids. I'd been out of the home for, you know, quite a few years at that point in time. And so I did. I listened. I listened to God, and I moved back home to my mom and dad's with my two children. You know, and then my third marriage that I thought was absolute bliss, you know, he also became a drug addict and a meth addict. And he started getting, he was more emotionally abusive. You know, I think we have the physical abuse, and I think that we have the emotional abuse. And they all, you know, abuse is abuse. It doesn't matter whether it's physical or whether it's mental. It leaves those scars, you know. And my last marriage was very, very devastating to me. And I was actually angry at God. But today I thank God. I thank God because he did for me what I could not do for myself. And I did not realize that at the time, you know. But if I don't walk hand in hand with God, he can't get me through it. If God brings it to you, he will bring you through it, you know. And I have to remember that today.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. And I remember you telling me that at one point in your life, you were in such a turmoil that you were actually were depriving yourself of the normal everyday things like warmth and comfort because you had lost that connection with God to where you felt deserving. And you felt guilty for taking care of yourself. And I was reading that guilt is the last stronghold of pride. And that's part of forgiving ourselves for things that we get ourselves into. And as children, we're not responsible for things we do. But once you are of age, and the Bible says of age is like 12, 13, where you're of age where you can make a decision to have God as your Lord and Savior, and then you're accountable. And so when you become accountable, we have to turn that sin over to God and let him take care of it. But we get into this pride and guilt, and it holds us and binds us there. And so do you want to talk about that time, dark time of your life?
Sure. For me, because it was my third marriage, and I had felt like such a failure, and I absolutely loved this man, and I felt like such a failure, and I felt like God had abandoned me because I was a failure, that I wasn't good enough. I was absolutely not good enough to have somebody that was loving and caring in my life. And so during that time, what I did was, and I live here in Utah, and anybody that knows the Utah weather in the dead of winter, it is really, really cold. It can sometimes be below zero. Susie, you know, you've lived in Wyoming and Montana and places, and so you know how cold that it can get. Well, because I felt less than, and again, I think it was that mental abuse, you know, that nobody was ever going to love me, that I wasn't going to be good enough, and God didn't care about me, and so I didn't have the will or the desire to care about myself. So what I did was I would get up and I would go to work, but basically that's all I could do is I would get up and I would go to work, and when I would come home, I never turned the heater on. I would have blankets on my bed, but I never turned the heater on because I did not think that I was deserving to have that, to have heat. I'm 5'5 and a half. I went down to 100 pounds because I didn't feel like I deserved to have the nutrition that I felt, you know, that most of us need and want. And so it was a self-beat up because I allowed another man in my life to control me, instead of me saying, you know what, I'm good enough, you know, I needed to hear that from a man. You know, in order for me to feel like I was pretty enough, I needed to hear that from a man. In order for me to think that my house was clean enough, I had to have that praise from a man, you know. And today I don't have to have that because God has shown me a different way. He's told me, you know what? No, you deserve to have heat. And you deserve to do the things that make you feel good. You deserve to have food. You deserve to have the everyday things of life that, you know, that is deserving to each and every one of us. You know, and for me, I do not ever want to go back to that place. I do not ever, ever want a man to tell me whether I'm pretty enough or I'm good enough or I'm sexy enough or whatever that we all think that we need to hear from a man. I need to know that I'm good enough for God and for myself.
Amen.
And I see so many women, men, children, both sexes, when they go through an abusive relationship, that they turn it inward on themselves, mm-hmm. whether it's bulimia, anorexia, mm-hmm. Or a combination of both, self-mutilation by cutting, multiple piercings on their bodies, disfiguring their bodies, and it's an attention that sometimes they need. Sometimes it's a self-expression for someone to take notice of them and a cry for help. And so we often tend to blame ourselves that it was something about us that was the reason for the abuse, why the abuser wasn't paying attention to us, and then they strayed off in a relationship, or it was our fault that things weren't done on time. And it all has to do with we are not responsible for another person's actions. Every yeah. one of us has to give an account to God for what we do. And that's where the blame game comes in, and that victim mentality that is no longer tolerated, because we are victorious in every situation. And God has given us the power to forgive, because it is for us to move on. And so you have forgiven so much in just your conversation, Darlene and Darnell, in speaking with you now for, what has it been, almost 2 years, a year and mm-hmm. a half since we reconnected, just in sharing the word with each other and maturing in the word back and forth, and times we call each other and bounce stuff off of each other. And that comes with accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so I just want to say to anybody listening in, if anyone has not taken the time to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be made whole. And to be made whole is the word sozo, which is to be made whole. And I use the King James Version in my conversation because I grew up with it. And so it's so easy to say thou because I read it so many times. But truly, you have to say it with your mouth that you believe Jesus. So just speak it out. If you believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins, speak it out and invite him into your life. And I can say that I would not be alive today without God's hand on my life. Mm-hmm. And I know for some of us, and the two of you especially, because we used to read the horoscope, and that was our daily guide. And we had mm-hmm. to see what guy was the same sign that the world said was who we were supposed to be mated with. And so many people out there are doing that, and I want you to know that it is a trick straight from the pit of hell. God knows who you are supposed to be with, and if you would just pray and ask God to show you. He is the only guide, and the Holy Spirit is your mentor, your helper, and that is from my heart for you, knowing that if you read my story, you will see how doing it the world's way and what the effect was on my life. And when I turned over completely 100% to God, where I don't even listen to a horoscope, I don't even look at one, because I want to know what God says about me, not what someone wrote for mm-hmm. a horoscope. And I think you two will agree, because you had the same thing. We quit looking at
yes.
that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Darnell, do you want to say anything about that? Because you and I were both born a day apart. I think you're July 10th and I'm July 11th.
No, I'm July 12th.
You're 12th. Okay, so I'm
yeah.
off a day. And so
yeah.
we were both cancers, and we would always look at
oh, gosh.
What the sign said about us, and, you know.
I lived by that. I went by that daily. I mean,
and,
I looked
and,
forward to reading that every day.
And it was your guide.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not correct?
That is correct, until the Bible became my guide.
Exactly. And so many people out there are still doing it, whether it's online, on their phone, in the newspaper. You know, people are buying that. And so I want to encourage people listening to take a look at the Word of God and try that for 30 days, honestly, and put away what you've been doing before and give God a chance. He's sitting there waiting for your call. His line
mm-hmm.
is never busy, never busy. You'll never lose a connection because of radio frequencies or your internet service being out, because God is always there. So, Maria, I wanted to ask you if you had any input for us listening to the conversations.
Here's the great thing, and I say this with all the new hosts, and I can't wait to have you two back on the show with Susie, because I think the second time, I think we're going to be able to do this a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great when you guys just let the Holy Spirit talk through you. It's amazing. And I know that doing a show, Susie, is really crazy, but you guys are powerful together, extremely powerful together.
Amen.
And I want you guys to use this forum and get together and see if maybe, Susie, this might be a segment of your show, maybe once a quarter, having the three of you on to see what projects you have worked on. This is just what God is telling me. There is something powerful about the three of you, and that is my observation, and you've got about a minute and a half to close us out.
Well, as powerful as these two are, we have the other D, Diane, that is coming on another show. We have Kay. We have so many people from our childhood that we're bringing on this show, and so it'll be a treat for the listeners to hear all of the girls I grew up with and their stories, and how each one of us had a thread of domestic violence, sexual abuse, or things going on, and how common it is, and how the awareness needs to be out there more. Parents need to start looking at behaviors in their children to see if it's there. And that is the message that this show, we are advocating for the awareness, and we are fighting against domestic violence, sexual abuse. And abuse comes not only in our children, it comes in the elderly, it comes in in the workplace. There is abuse everywhere, but it is not tolerated. And God has brought all of us together for a common good. And so I am so thrilled that Maria has invited me on the show, Soul Sister Radio, and Thursdays at 5 o'clock. And so I encourage listeners to call in afterwards if they have something they want to talk to us about offline, they want to email us. And also, if you live in the Los Angeles area, you can go online to www.safepassagelives.org, and you can call in and talk to one of the mentors at that facility for domestic violence. You can also type in to the show Soul Sister Radio and talk with Maria or wonderful Rebecca, who has the heart for real. And she is filling those hearts, so get one for your loved ones for Christmas. And anything you wanted to share, Maria?
Nope, I think you've done really well. And thank you, everybody, for joining us again. You can
catch
us on
the page.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, the Advocate with Susan on So thank you again. And ladies, I cannot wait to see what God is going to do with all of us soul sisters together. So I'm going to have to close out with the song, and it is our ending song. So I just want you to sit back and listen, because we're all together and we are soul sisters. Thank you so much. And Susie, thank you for choosing Sister Radio as your platform and outreach. And we will see you next week on The Advocate.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio. Soul Sister Radio.